The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
The Holy Spirit, His presence in your life and getting to know Him, it takes away the loneliness, and you get to know Him as a constant companion. The Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us from being so desperately lonely.
Our first-person guest now is Anne Graham Lotz, the author of the new book, Jesus in Me. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and we'll begin the interview with Anne in just a moment. This would be a good time to take note of our website, firstpersoninterview.com, where we've archived hundreds of interviews for playback anytime. And as always, this program is made possible by the Far East Broadcasting Company, who is declaring the message of the gospel every day in dozens of countries, always using local broadcasters who speak local languages, even many minority languages. Please visit febc.org to learn more. FEBC, until all have heard. Our guest, Anne Graham Lotz, is well known in her own right as a speaker and author. The daughter of Billy and Ruth Graham, Anne has a deep and abiding faith in Christ, who is her life. In recent years, she has not only endured the death of her husband and parents, but is battling breast cancer as well. But in the process, she has been drawn into a deeper understanding of the role of the Holy Spirit. On the phone, I ask Anne to update us on how she's doing in her fight with cancer.
Oh, thank you so much, Wayne, and gives me opportunity, all the listeners that are following you, just to thank them for their prayers. So many people have prayed for me. I feel I've been carried on the wings of other people's prayers. And I've had my last infusion about 3 weeks ago. So from now on, I'll have blood work, and they'll keep tabs on me. But I'm working at getting my strength and stamina back. It's just been quite a haul. I know other people have gone through this. They know you just don't bounce back. You know, so I have to work hard at it. But I'm through the worst part, and I believe the Lord has promised that because of the prayers of other people that He's healed me. And I know there's a greater healing than physical, and it can be the resurrection. So I'm ready to go to heaven, or I'm ready to stay here and serve the Lord for the length of time He has left for me. So I'm free either way, but I believe I've been healed physically. So yeah. I'm very thankful.
Either way, we win, don't we?
That's exactly right. It's a win-win.
Well, it's good to get that report. And you really feel the prayers of listeners, huh?
It's really been so special. Not only feel them, but Wayne, I have had hundreds and even thousands of emails, texts, phone calls, letters, people all over the world who prayed for me. And one reason is because when I was first diagnosed with breast cancer, I felt like God just whispered to me from James 5 that we're to pray for one another that we would be healed. And I felt like He was telling me, Anne, let people know what you're going through so that they can pray for you, ask them to pray, and I'll heal you. So I just put it out there on social media, just let them look over my shoulder. I posted pictures when I was diagnosed, when I went through surgery, when I had my head shaved, all the whole nine yards, even the last chemo infusion. I took a picture from the bed and just let people know what I was going through. And they responded, Wayne. It was very humbling. It was thrilling and made me actually want to be that kind of person for somebody else. So there's several people on my list now who are dealing with cancer that I try to pray for faithfully because prayer makes a difference.
Yeah, it certainly does. Well, we're delighted to get that good report from you today. And in your book, Jesus and Me, your latest book, you start with telling the story of your husband's death, which, of course, came just before this cancer diagnosis, and I can only imagine how difficult that was for you.
It actually came about 4 years before. It was 4 years ago that I found my husband unresponsive in our pool, and we got him to the hospital and put him on life support for 2 days and then released him, and he went to glory. And it was after that, Wayne, that I felt the Lord just put on my heart to focus on the Holy Spirit, to write a book on the Holy Spirit. So I took, several years. I'd been studying it, but I took several years to write the book, turned it in a few months after my father went to heaven, because three years after my father, after Danny, my husband, went to heaven, my father went to heaven. And then in that interim, I turned in the rough draft to the publisher. But then 6 months after my father went to heaven, I was diagnosed with cancer and went through, the surgery, the chemotherapy, and the radiation. And it was during the treatment that I rewrote and did the editing of the book. And And it was so good of God to do that, because he had me focused not on myself or my circumstances, but on the one who is Jesus in me, my constant companion, who led me through major things like the decision what surgeon to go to, what treatments to have, gave me strength to endure some of the treatments that are really brutal. It almost like comes out of the medieval ages. It's just, I hope that they come up with a cure for cancer, because I don't think they should put people through this. And yet, I know it's the way that God has allowed to help us get cancer, you know, to get rid of it. But yes, it's really hard. But he gave me strength, comfort, help, and I look back, and what I remember is not the grief and the pain and the suffering. What I remember are the blessings of God and family that rallied around me, friends that helped and brought me meals, and people all over the world who prayed for me, and then precious opportunities to share the comfort that God can give us through, you know, with other patients and doctors. And so it's been a journey that was like a... Actually, when I was diagnosed, I thought, this is my next ministry assignment. Oh, yeah. And looking back on it, I think that's exactly what it was. God just gave me a different platform and unique opportunities to tell people about the love of God through Jesus.
What a great word to hear from you. I want to read John chapter 16, verses 7 and 8, and just have you comment on these verses, if you would, Anne. Jesus is speaking and says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment." Talk to me about what those verses say to you.
You know, the first one just stopped me, because he said it would be good if I would go away. And I thought, whoa, you know, how could it be good for Jesus to go away? What could be better than having Jesus sitting right here in his visible presence, you know? And then I thought, well, if he's with me here, and then I get up and leave the room, and he stays here, then I'm separated from him. So he's saying it's better if he would go away, because then he would ask the Father to give us, and in chapter 14 he said another counselor, meaning he's a counselor, and the Father would give him another one, and or give us another one, and that word another means someone exactly the same as. But the another counselor would be the Holy Spirit, who would come live inside of us. So if I get up and leave the room, he gets up and leaves with me, because he's in me, and he'll never leave nor forsake me. So the thrilling thing is that God is not inviting us into a religion or denomination or tradition or even into a church. He's inviting us into a personal relationship through faith in Jesus. So Wayne, when I was a little girl, I was watching a picture of Jesus on television, and I was convicted of my sin. So right there, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, according to John chapter 16. And he convinced me that I was a sinner. I told God, I got down on my knees and told God I was sorry, asked him to forgive me. I believe Jesus died on the cross to take away my sin, that he was God's sacrifice for my sin, and asked him to cleanse me and opened up my heart and invited Jesus to come in. And as a little girl, I didn't understand about the Holy Spirit. And so, but Jesus knew what I was talking about. Jesus is in a man's body up in heaven, coming, getting ready to come back and rule the world. But he came into me when I invited him. He came in the person of the Holy Spirit. So I was born again into God's family when I was a young girl, because God doesn't have any grandchildren. You know, just because I'm Billy Graham's daughter doesn't mean that I'm a child of God. I had to make my own decision. And then it was when I was a young adult studying John, the Gospel of John, actually, and I came into a better understanding of who the Holy Spirit is. And he's not a flame of fire. He's not a dove. He's not an ecstatic experience. He's not an emotion. He's not an it. You know, he is Jesus living inside of me. He's exactly like his own distinct person, but exactly like Jesus living inside of me. And he's been my constant companion. In the last 4 years, I've experienced that in a very fresh, deep, rich way, and I wouldn't take anything for it.
Hmm. What are your thoughts on the filling of the Spirit? I think it was D.L. Moody who said he was filled because he leaks.
Well, we all leak.
Yeah, right. We need that continual presence, don't we?
Yes. I put an appendix, actually, in the book, How to Be Filled with the Holy Spirit and Stay Filled with the Holy Spirit. And the best definition I heard, I think, was dear old Dr. Alan Redpath, who is now in glory, but he said that it means to be moment-by-moment surrender to the moment-by-moment control of the Holy Spirit.
I read that,
and
yeah,
so when
very
we
good.
Take control of our lives, or we resist him, or we don't let him have his way in some area, then we're no longer filled. You know, we have to give him our whole lives, every nook and cranny, every room, every area, every relationship, every habit. We just let him fill our lives, and when he fills us, then we have a fullness of blessing and joy and that awareness of God's presence. And so the filling of the Holy Spirit, we're commanded, actually, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's something that we have to do in obedience to him, which really is just that moment-by-moment surrender to his moment-by-moment control.
Wasn't it Redpath who also said it's like the Atlantic Ocean filling the Mediterranean Sea, but the Mediterranean Sea will evaporate and it needs to be filled continually?
That's right. Just the constantly flowing into our lives, and he never runs out of flow. he never runs out. But this is interesting. When I invited the Holy Spirit to come into my life, or invited Jesus to come into my life, he came into me as a person. So you don't get a person in pieces. And some people talk about, you know, they have the Holy Spirit, this piece now, and then later they have another piece. But that's not right, because the Holy Spirit is a person. And when you ask him to come into your heart, you have all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to have. But what happens is that we seem to give him ourselves in pieces. So, you know, I'll give him Sunday morning when I'm at church, but not Monday morning when I'm at the office. Or I'll give him Sunday night when I'm in Bible study, but not Saturday night when I'm with my friends. And we just sort of parcel out what we will allow him to have. And so he doesn't fill us. And so the Holy Spirit, when he fills our lives, it's a constant flow into our lives. And we keep the fullness there by just making sure that every part of us is surrendered, that he has control of every part of our lives. And our Christian lives, maybe this is what Dr. Redpath was referring to, or Dr. Moody, when we leak, you know, because as we go through Christian life, we'll sin, or we'll have given him control of something, and then we take it back. And so there's that constant, you know, sort of ebb and flow. But Years ago, I just decided I was tired of deciding what he could have and what he couldn't. So I just gave him everything. I just was tired of that struggle. And I surrendered everything to him and have just watched as he's allowed me to go through hard things that actually, Wayne, I think, break me and break some of that resistance and expand my capacity to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So you know, it's a process, it's a journey, but it's one that's worth taking, because the Holy Spirit is Jesus in me, and he's wonderful. And I'll tell you something else. I dedicated the book to the lonely, and that really was for myself, because after my husband left and then Daddy left, I was a widow and then an orphan and faced with a life-threatening disease, and I felt loneliness knocking at my door. But it never set in because of the Holy Spirit. He's God's antidote for loneliness. And then I found out, after I dedicated the book, I found out the statistic that 22% of adult Americans are so desperately lonely, they have suicidal thoughts, and that loneliness is an epidemic among millennials. And I thought, you know, so I'm hoping this book gets out into people's hands, because the Holy Spirit, his presence in your life and getting to know him as Jesus in me, it takes away the loneliness, and you get to know him as a constant companion. And it doesn't mean that there are times that we need fellowship. You know, of course, says that God has put the lonely in families, and I think he puts us in church families and human families and other groups of fellowship. But the Holy Spirit is the one that keeps us from being so desperately lonely.
We'll continue talking with Ann Graham Lotz about the role of the Holy Spirit in life coming up on First Person.
I decided to escape North Korea after listening to FEBC's broadcast. I was able to keep my faith firm by listening to your programs.
Just one of millions of grateful people who listens to the Far East Broadcasting Company in her own language. FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is Ann Graham Lotz. Her new book is Jesus in Me, Experiencing the Holy Spirit as a Constant Companion. And I've heard you tell the story, and I'm glad that you put it in the appendix to your book, the story of approaching the funeral of your father and being asked, along with other family members, to speak that day. Can you tell us what happened in that moment?
Yes, you know, when my father went to heaven, there were lots of events that took place. the motorcade that went from Asheville to Charlotte, Asheville where he died, and then Charlotte where he was buried. We went to Washington, D.C., where he laid in the rotunda of the Capitol, and then came back, and his funeral service was under a big tent at the Billy Graham Library. And I just had no time. I just say that because there was no time to prepare remarks. And I'd known for years that this time would come, but I never felt that God gave me what he would have me say at a moment like that. So now I was faced with that moment, knowing that I would be expected to bring remarks from the platform, but I had no prepared remarks. I had some thoughts, and but there was no time to sit down, write them out. And so right before we went out, I was in the back, and I just put my head on a table and zoned out. I couldn't get two thoughts together. I couldn't even remember the thoughts that I'd had, and I felt like I was almost like I wanted to pass out, but I was sitting at a table. You know, I wasn't, I wished I could have gone unconscious because I wanted to exit life at that moment. And then I had to go out and greet the president and first lady who were so gracious to come, and the vice president and his wife, and then you know, follow out in a procession under the tent. And then my brother called my siblings and I up on the platform so that my aunt actually went first with her remarks, and my older sister. Then I was the third one to have remarks, and when I walked into the pulpit, Wayne, God just came down, and he gave me the words. He gave me, if I had practiced it 100 times in front of a mirror, I couldn't have come out.
Well, I remember it very clearly. Yeah, it was very powerful, and we took it as a word from the Lord. There's no question about that.
I believe it was. I mean, just from that experience, I believe it was a word from the Lord, and he gave me the ability to deliver it, and so I just want to say thank you again. Just thank you, God, again, for giving me an opportunity to tell the whole world when they were watching live stream that Jesus is coming and it's time for us to get right with God.
Yeah, which brings up another point. And by the way, it speaks to him as our constant companion, as you call him in your book. But it brings up the matter of the Holy Spirit as intercessor, the one who is pleading our case, if you will, before God.
Yes, and not only our case before God, but our case before others. You know, so there are times when I've had broken relationships, as I'm sure you have, and if the other person is a believer, then I can pray for the Holy Spirit to be stirred up in that person while I pray the Holy Spirit would stir up in me and bring us to that point of reconciliation. I think I share a story about one of my children when I had a strained relationship and how the Holy Spirit brought us to reconciliation. So the Holy Spirit is a wonderful intercessor. He's an advocate. He can defend us. And at a point when my husband and I were pretty much thrown out of a church and it made the headlines of the paper, it was humiliating. But 1 year later, in that same paper, they did a profile on me just exonerating me of any wrongdoing. And I knew the Holy Spirit had been my advocate. Mm-hmm. He was defending me and doing it in such a way that my reputation was not only preserved, but probably enhanced. So the Holy Spirit, sometimes you don't recognize him at the time. But you look back and you think, oh my goodness, you know, that was the Holy Spirit at work.
Yeah.
So I just praise him for those times when he's quietly in the shadows working in my life and bringing all things to the point that Jesus receives the glory and people are drawn to him.
That's very powerful. And yet he doesn't leave us there because he is our advocate. As we read in John 16, he also comes to convict us concerning sin and righteousness.
That's right. And so, you know, look in my life, the way he has worked in my life, and somebody has said he's the most uncomfortable comforter they've ever known because he does convict of sin.
Yeah.
You know, and I want him to. I don't want to get by with anything because I want my whole life's purpose really is to live for God's pleasure. I want him to be pleased with me. I want to bear abundant fruit. I want an abundant entrance into glory. And so that takes the Holy Spirit at work in my life. And so that takes conviction of sin. You know, one of the first things Jesus did after entering Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday was to go to the temple and clean it out. You know, he went to the heart and cleaned it up. And so one of the things he does when he comes into our lives is start to clean us up. But he does so, Wayne, one thing at a time. So if you feel like your whole life is a mess and you'll never amount to anything and you're just a failure, that's the devil. He comes in to try to discourage like that. But the Holy Spirit comes in, he convicts of one thing at a time and gives us, when he convicts us, there's an awareness of what we need to do to put it out, to set it right, and he'll help us, and he'll strengthen us to do that.
In your book, you discuss that the Holy Spirit quickens us. That's kind of an old-fashioned word. What is meant by that? In what way are we quickened by the Spirit?
Well, it's actually a biblical word.
But I think we've lost touch with it, haven't we?
I guess women who carry babies, they understand that.
Yeah,
because
sure.
At about maybe 4 or 5 months, you know, you know you're pregnant, but then all of a sudden you feel that little flutter of life, and you know that the baby is quickened, the life is within. So the Holy Spirit, in the same way, he comes into us when we invite him through faith in Jesus, and then he'll quicken us spiritually. So we begin to want to read our Bibles. We begin to want to pray. We begin to want to be with other believers in the fellowship of the church. We begin to want to tell people about Jesus. And there's a spiritual quickening as we come to life. So whereas we were dead in our trespasses and sin, the Bible says, and we didn't care about the things of God. We didn't care about reading the Bible. We didn't care about prayer. We didn't care about going to church. You know, we'd rather take Sunday off. We didn't care about spiritual things. Now we care, and that's the quickening of the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. And so it's an exciting thing to recognize that we're being quickened. So when we want to read our Bibles, when we want to pray, when we want to go to that Bible study, when we want to go to church, and we do it, and to find out that's the Holy Spirit at work in our lives.
Well, thank you for so many personal examples of how the Holy Spirit works in someone's life as you've experienced the Spirit. Those are very helpful examples in your book, but we have just a minute left. I just want to conclude with how you conclude in the book, and that is the Spirit's focus is on Jesus.
You know, all the way from Genesis chapter 1, when it says, "And God said," and we find out from John chapter 1 that was the Word of God, the living Word, who is Jesus, who became flesh, and the Holy Spirit takes us through the Scripture. And if we'll let him, he'll just turn over what I call the puzzle pieces and show us Jesus all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So in this chapter of John, in John 16, which you read, that it's his job, his responsibility, to take the things of Jesus and make them real to us. And he does that through God's Word. So his priority is the written Word, and through the written Word that we might know the living Word. So his priority is Jesus. And so as I examine my life, what is my priority? If it's anything more or less other than Jesus, then I'm out of sync with the Holy Spirit. So it's all about Jesus from beginning to end.
Well, Anne, we're going to be praying for you in this next stage of your journey and continue to uphold you before God physically and for your ministry as well. So thank you for your time.
Wayne, thank you so much. God bless you.
Anne's book is titled Jesus in Me, Experiencing the Holy Spirit as a Constant Companion. And we'll have an informative link to the book at firstpersoninterview.com. Our guest has been Anne Graham Lotz. To hear this interview again or to share it with a friend or loved one, please visit firstpersoninterview.com or use our smartphone app, which is available free of charge in your app store. Search for First Person Interview. And once again, the app is absolutely free. And you can also visit us on Facebook, where you can leave comments following any interview. We're found at facebook.com/firstpersoninterview. These conversations are made possible by the Far East Broadcasting Company, which started in China but now reaches nearly 50 nations with local language broadcasts. Thousands of hours of programming is sent out each day from FEBC, all with the purpose of introducing people to Jesus Christ and giving them God's Word for growth in their faith. For more about FEBC and its many radio and media ministries, please visit febc.org. There you'll find testimonies, even video testimonies, of what God is doing through the Far East Broadcasting Company. Once again, go to febc.org. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Join us next time for First Person.